Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media.
Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
You know, I don't want to tell a chef the second week of June or the third week of June, oh, I've got 10 pounds of green beans for you. And then, oh, sorry, I'm out of beans for the next 3 weeks.
Farmer Teresa Bertels has had to be meticulous with her planning, starting back in December when she bought seeds, to make sure she gives her chef customers what they need. She tells us how a conversation at the farmer's market kicked off one of her most consistent business partnerships. Kale and bok choy cooked with Asian flavors in Chef Daniel Orr's kitchen. Harvest Public Media with a story about how renovations to the Panama Canal could affect Midwestern farmers. And cold brew coffee for sale on the streets at 11 o'clock at night. We peddle caffeine with Yule Zing. Food labels, food waste, and food safety. Luann Johnson with our headlines.
Which has a better sanitation rating? Traditional brick-and-mortar restaurants or food trucks? A new study by the public interest firm Institute for Justice pored through 260,000 food safety inspection records in seven cities to discover that food trucks either scored as well or better than restaurants in their respective cities. In Los Angeles, for example, records examined between 2009 and July 2012 showed food trucks averaged 3.6 violations, while restaurants averaged 7.8. Other cities included in the study were Boston, Las Vegas, Louisville, Miami, and Washington, D.C. Institute of Justice opposes stricter regulation on food trucks than on regular restaurants. One way to offset food waste is to compost it, something New York City schools are trying across the boroughs. The fact is, lots of food goes to waste in schools. One study found almost one quarter of food served in cafeterias gets tossed in the trash. Composting means less food ends up in the landfills. That equals money saved, especially in New York City. Elementary students in New York City line up to separate their trash between bins. When trash that cannot be composted ends up in the compost bin, specially designated green team students separate the compost from the trash. 2 years ago, New York City schools tried the compost program in the Upper West Side. By this fall, all five boroughs will be practicing composting. And when it comes to random health vocab splashed across food labels, we're prone to take the bait. That's the finding of a new study from the University of Houston, where researchers asked 318 participants to rate the healthiness of products with and without health buzzwords like organic, gluten-free, and whole grain on their labels. Temple Northup, lead investigator for the study and assistant professor in the Jack J. Valente School of Communication, said those words imply some kind of health benefit, even on products like soda or sugary cereal that are clearly junk food. He proposed that the use of health words primes the brain to link the product with legitimate uses of those terms, which could influence choices. Whatever is happening backstage, the results certainly show a strong effect. On a scale of 1 to 100, applesauce labeled organic was rated 12 points higher than the same product without the word. Participants gave Chef Boyardee lasagna a 19.2 point boost when it had whole grain written on its package. Chocolate Cheerios received 5.3 more rating points with heart healthy on the label. Advocacy groups have been pushing for bans on misleading health claims. Consumer Reports has called for a ban on the term natural because it has little practical use for the consumer. We post stories like these all day, every day on Twitter. Follow us at Earth Eats.
Our reporter Chad Bouchard is working on a story about why some food companies don't advertise when they make their dishes healthier, by reducing sodium or fat, for instance. Chef Daniel Orr sees a trend for his quote-unquote healthy dishes as well.
One thing that I have noticed is if you write gluten-free or vegan on a menu, nobody orders it because people think, oh, it's going to be terrible.
Keep an eye on eartheats.org for Chad's story. In our show today, both of our recipes with Chef Daniel Orr are vegan and gluten-free, but they're far from terrible. We use some Asian flavors with bok choy and kale. But first, our weekly story from Harvest Public Media. For the last century, the Panama Canal has connected the U.S. to the world. For Midwest farmers, it opened their harvest to global markets and helped link them to the global economy. As the canal turns 100 this summer, many are thinking back at its past and toward its future. Rick Fredrickson takes a look.
The culture of a tiny tropical nation was open to the world when the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans were connected in Panama. A man-made waterway lopped off 8,000 miles from the voyage around South America. Yellow fever and malaria killed tens of thousands of construction workers during the failed French startup and the successful American completion. Since then, newsreels have touted the vital shipping link and its strategic importance during times of war.
An enemy blowing up a ship might block the waterway, might destroy a lock, so there's ceaseless vigilance.
In 1937, General David Stone was in charge of defense.
This canal was conceived and built by our people to serve as a peaceful highway for the commerce of the world, and we intend to keep it so.
Obviously, it's one of our major achievements. It's like going to the moon. You know, it's something we did well and we did right.
Bill Engrick, former state ombudsman of Iowa, was born in the Canal Zone and has been studying the engineering marvel all his life.
It was an effort of the American ingenuity, American skill and ability, and, of course, the gumption and will of Teddy Roosevelt.
As international trade surged and modern ships got too big for the waterway, the Panama Canal became a bottleneck. A massive expansion to meet the demand of the 21st century is set to open as soon as next year. From the fruit we eat to the farm products we export, Midwesterners will be rewarded.
Well, I think it will keep prices in check.
Chris Schrage is the Global Business Opportunities Coordinator at the University of Northern Iowa.
Bananas, all the grapes and stuff that we get from Chile, you know, all of those kinds of things can be moved in faster to us and have less chance of spoilage and wastage for both the suppliers and the intermediaries in the supply chain.
The primary impact for exporters will be on trade between the world's largest economies, the U.S. and China and the rest of Asia. Mike Steenhook is director of the Soy Transportation Coalition.
600 million bushels of soybeans went through the Panama Canal last year, and that's the number one U.S. agricultural product that utilizes the canal.
Steenhook says each of the new super ships can accommodate an additional 500,000 bushels, saving time and money for the buyers of American soybeans.
It could save 35 cents per bushel per bushel of soybeans to our ultimate customer, say in Asia. So 35 cents per bushel of soybeans passed on to our customer, that's really going to help us remain competitive.
A more efficient Panama Canal is boosting a field of study crucial to the end users of international commerce, logistics specialists.
Supply management can be as simple as a restaurant where it's just wondering how the food gets to your plate, and not necessarily saying that's simple, but something as common as that, if you will.
Joe Noonan is a junior in supply chain management at the University of Northern Iowa and has been to the canal.
Even our own John Deere tractors that, you know, we all know from here in Waterloo, we saw some of them at the shipping port. So it's everywhere. And whether or not I work with the Panama Canal directly, it will definitely come up in my career.
The improved 50-mile-long canal will herald two-way traffic and 24-hour service. Once operational, a separate shipping nightmare still looms, the inland waterways which feed into the canal. According to Soy Transportation Director Steenhook, the aging locks and dams along the Mississippi River are vulnerable.
Unfortunately, they're falling into disrepair. We're seeing unexpected closures on the increase. And we're coming closer and closer to potential catastrophic failure at any one of these lock sites. And if that happened during harvest season, it could really have a detrimental impact.
This is USS Iowa, BB-61, battleship.
The battleship Iowa threaded the needle several times during the canal's 100-year history. This tight squeeze is a family keepsake on YouTube, recorded in 1986.
That's a tugboat whistle, Johnny.
Journey into the land that brought the world together.
The rich history and the centennial expansion are prompting a new tourism campaign to lure cruise ships to the canal.
With over 80 direct flights, Panama is where the world meets.
Farmers, agribusiness, and other stakeholders are already planning to visit as the canal begins its next 100 years as a commercial shortcut between buyers and sellers. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Rick Fredrickson.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting collaboration focused on issues of food, fuel, and field. More stories like this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. Heartland Family Farm sells to the farmers market and it runs a CSA, but its main business is custom growing for local restaurants, from fine dining establishments to quick serve joints. Farmer Teresa Bertels met one of her loyal chef customers, Dave Talent, when he was shopping at the farmers market. They started talking, and then Bertels turned the table on him.
And I started asking him, now, what are you looking for? What would you like for me to grow? And I think that was a little bit of a different angle also for him, because he was used to coming to the market to buy whatever was available at the market. And then to kind of change that scenario to where, oh, you know, a farmer's going to grow specific things for me.
She's been providing restaurant talent with food for 10 years now. Fostering this relationship has taken some work on her part, primarily in terms of what to plant when. Initially, it was hard for her to anticipate in December, when she's buying seeds, what a chef would want to plate up in August.
So when I start the season, let's say with a green bean, you know, I don't want to tell a chef the second week of June or the third week of June, oh, I've got 10 pounds of green beans for you. And then the next week, I've got another 10 pounds. And then, oh, sorry, I'm out of beans for the next 3 weeks.
It's prime time for her green beans right now, so keep an eye out for them in local restaurants. She's also pulling out zucchini, cabbage, and Swiss chard. This is her first year farming on this particular plot of land. It's an old horse farm, so she says it's never been treated with chemicals. You hear that whistling? That's the wind, the strong, persistent wind that follows you wherever you go on these 40 acres. Location was the primary reason for buying this farm before she had a 23-mile drive to get into town.
But I wanted to be close to Bloomington, so when chefs call me and say, hey, I need 10 pounds of kale. Hey, can you bring some eggs in? I am almost out of eggs. I wanted to be in the position where I can just jump on the road, and exactly 14 minutes, I'm downtown.
Farming is in her blood. One of Bertel's earliest memories was walking barefoot through her grandparents' field picking potatoes. She's grown food ever since, but she started farming commercially 16 years ago. She needed a way to support herself following a divorce.
I just couldn't fathom staying indoors all day. I mean, to me, that was just like, I can't do that, but I can grow things.
Excellent year. Excellent year. And then we have the bees, and they've been great. Oh, I see they're out this afternoon.
The bees?
See the bees?
And five happy chickens pecking away.
Yeah.
Actually, she has upwards of 100 chickens and a handful of sheep who are guarded by Katie the donkey.
Katie!
So what's the point of the donkey?
Oh, the point of the donkey is to keep the sheep alive. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I jump out of bed. One reason I leave the window open when I sleep is so I can hear the coyotes. Hi, how is everybody today? Hey, how's everybody doing, huh?
Inside her house, she has copies of Food and Wine and Gourmet next to her seed catalogs. She does a lot of reading to keep up on the food trends so she can grow the latest it ingredients. Pea shoots, for instance. When she started growing pea shoots, she was the only local source.
If you grow something different, something out of the ordinary, and you come to the back door of a kitchen and you call for your chef and he comes over and you show him this glorious thing that you've grown, I mean, they just light up like a Christmas tree. They're so excited because they are creative and artistic, and you've given them a new color to go on the palette. You know, they could call Cisco, they could call Piazza, they could call somebody else, but instead it's like, I'm going to call my farmer. I bet she has it. So I really appreciate that.
Bertels mentioned that sometimes a chef will ask for 10 pounds of kale. You know, when you're making several dozen of the same dish every night for a week, let's say, you do need ingredients in massive quantities. Us home cooks can make it work with far less. For this recipe, all you need is the leaves from one bunch of kale.
All right.
But don't pitch the stems, says Chef Orr.
The stems are edible, and they're also great in soups. So if you have a bunch of stems and you don't want to use them in your main dish, you can chop them up and throw them in your next soup. You can throw them in pasta sauce. What I always suggest if you're using the stems is cut them into small pieces because they can be stringy. And when you cut something in small little coins, into little rounds, you're cutting through those fibers and it's going to be tender. You don't have to worry about having those long stringy pieces in. Kale has those little crinkly leaves. So it's a very good idea that you wash it really well because it can hold sand and dirt in it. I use kind of room temperature to slightly warm water, and that seems to encourage the sand and the grit to come out of the lettuce. If if they're really kind of buggy, or if you pull them right out of the garden and they're, you know, maybe it's that little slug that's hanging out in there, you can put a little splash of vinegar in the water, and that will encourage those little pests to get out of your greens as well. Now we're going to do kind of an Asian kale dish. It's a sesame kale sauté. And so I've got a nice hot pan here. Okay, we're going to add some oil. We've got our garlic, our sesame oil, and that's going to really be nutty and toasty smelling. I can smell it already. Okay, we're going to add our kale. And this you don't really need to cook too much, you're just wilting it. You want to keep that nice, fresh, green color and crunchy texture. Okay, we're going to add our sesame seeds. And we're going to add some tamari. And tamari is a totally wheat-free product. And I'm just going to give that a little taste. Okay, I've got that nice nuttiness and then the crunchy little seeds in there. And with that tamari, you really don't need much salt in it. And that is our Asian roasted kale.
Tamari is one of those ingredients you'll be glad to have on hand. In fact, our second recipe, coming up after the break, also uses a splash of tamari. After that...
I only have exactly one thing, but I can do a lot of different things with that. Not only can I sell it from a cart, but I can bottle it. I can sell it in big jugs to offices. I can sell the concentrate. You can bake with it and cook. We made ice cream and cookies and stuff.
Samuel Sven peddles his cold brew coffee under the name Yule Zing. Literally peddles, we visit his tricycle-turned-mobile coffee shop, set up at a rather unusual location. Stick with us. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods. Fresh, local, organic food with delis at all three locations and a garden center on East 3rd Street. BloomingFoods.coop. Touchstone Wellness, providers of therapeutic massage and yoga instruction, offering a variety of healing massage styles and yoga levels. At the corner of Buick Cadillac Boulevard and Auto Mall Road, one block east of College Mall Road. Touchstone Wellness, massage and yoga. More at touchstonewellness.com. And Bloomington Hypnosis, with certified hypnotist and self-hypnosis instructor John Hunkler, helping clients relax into weight loss for health and fitness. Bloomington Hypnosis, 812-200-5005.
Thank you. Welcome back to Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan. Baby bok choy are lined on the cutting board in the Farm Bloomington kitchen. Daniel Orr has a recipe in mind for these, but hear how he improvises along the way.
All right.
Bok choy.
Now, one of the things that is the most difficult about preparing this vegetable is cleaning it, because it grows in dirt. If I cut this in half, you see that there's a lot of places where dirt can get caught inside of here. And if I open this up right here, you can kind of see the sand and grit inside there. You really want to be careful to get all that out, because nothing can spoil a meal like sand. You know, if you've had a sandy salad, you've had sandy vegetables, you've had grit in an oyster or mussels, there's really no going back once that's happened, because you know that next bite might have another crunch of sand in it. When you're washing vegetables, you want to wash them in a big basin of water. Put them in the water, really kind of agitate them, splash them around, get all those grooves. All right, now we're going to do our standard blanch and shock, which is not a George Bush war tactic. It's a cooking method. And so you have heavily salted boiling water. Plunge your vegetables in there. Let them cook just until the colors are set. And then you put them into ice water and shock and set the color. Okay, now we're going to kind of stay with that Asian theme. 2 tablespoons of sesame oil. Okay, then we have our garlic. It's about 2 cloves.
For you, that's not a lot of garlic.
Well, I think those are small cloves. I may have some more garlic around here. Okay, look at this. Okay. I found. There we go. That's more like that. All right, and then we're going to throw the bok choy in. You hear that rumble? Okay, we're going to season it with salt and pepper and a handful of scallions. Got a really nice aroma. You smell that that sesame oil. Let me give it a little taste. This needs a little more salt. You could also add a little bit of soy sauce to this, which, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change this recipe a little bit, add a touch of tamari sauce. All right, that kind of gives it a nice little brown color. And I'll put this on a platter and let you try it, Annie.
And it was really great. That extra handful of garlic was definitely evident. I would want to pair this with some soba noodles, perhaps maybe a side for some fish. The photo of this dish is absolutely stunning. Check it out and follow the recipe at eartheats.org. It's 11 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. The Bishop in downtown Bloomington is humming with activity. The walls are actually buzzing from the sound of the band playing inside. Bargoers are corralled in a pen out front so they can take their beers on their smoke breaks. Some people are here for the music. Some people are here for the scene.
Oh, it's a show. Hunter Child and Craft Spells playing tonight.
5 steps from the front door of the Bishop is a man dressed in head-to-toe yellow. His cart is yellow. He's placing little paper cups with samples of his product on the front of the cart for folks to grab and try for free. It's cold brew coffee. Did I mention it's 11 p.m.?
I don't know. Well, I actually had some coffee before I left my house, but I love that he's out right now, because sometimes, yeah, you get tired and...
People drink Red Bull and vodka all the time, so why not get your natural conch shot instead? I'm all about it.
Those conch shots are what Samuel Sven are handing out as free samples, and people are downing them. He'll explain what conch is in a second. Kelsey Hacker is here to see the show. She bought a pint of cold brew. No cream, no sugar, just straight coffee.
I'll be up for a few hours because it definitely works.
Sven is better known to caffeine fanatics as Yule Zing. This is the first time he's taken his mobile coffee shop to a late night spot. And so far, so good. Even more than making sales, he's making connections with people who might not have seen his bright yellow food cart during the day. He's had the opportunity to explain what cold brew coffee is to a couple people already. No, this is not chilled hot coffee.
Normally when you make coffee, you brew with hot water, right? Well, this is brewed with cold water and a lot more coffee in 24 hours. With that cold water, all of the extraction processes, all of those chemical reactions are happening in slow motion. So you have a lot more control over the situation, and you're able to get all the good stuff, the caffeine and the chocolatey, smooth, sweet stuff, but then cut it off before it extracts all the acids and the bitter stuff. So what you get is this really, really strong concentrate, and I call it conch. Hashtag Zing Conch.
Dilute the conch 1-to-1 with water, and you get the regular Yule Zing cold brew coffee. That's $2. Upgrade to a 16-ounce pint for $3. A guy grabs a free sample of conch, a pint of beer in his other hand, and back into the Bishop he goes. A coffee geek from way back, Sven is eager to talk about the flavor of his brew.
We have a custom blend locally roasted by Quarrymen. It's got some Ethiopian beans in there for kind of a blueberry sweet citrusy note. A Nicaraguan bean for a nice chocolatey note that really shines through in the cold brew. And then a smoky Sumatran base note. It basically is just super strong and super smooth.
As a business, it's also super limiting. Cold brew coffee is the only thing Yule Zing sells. But his mobility is what allows him to get creative. Any public sidewalk can be his storefront. He's also expanding his distribution. He describes it like this. When you're working within a box, you have to reach for the corners.
I only have exactly one thing, but I can do a lot of different things with that. Not only can I sell it from a cart, but I can bottle it. I can sell it in big jugs to offices. I can sell the concentrate. You can bake with it and cook. We made ice cream and cookies and stuff. Reduce it to a gravy sort of thing and or like throw it in some chili. And like there's all sorts of things you can do with just this one thing.
And there are still untapped markets. Kelsey Hacker says it didn't even occur to her friends to want a late night coffee option.
But now they kind of realize it's a pretty good idea. You know, you're seeing a really nice show that you're dancing, you get tired, you gotta get pumped up for the next set, so pay a dollar, get a conch shot, go back in, keep dancing.
Samuel Sven is Yule Zing. And this music you're hearing is by the band who was performing that night at the Bishop, Hunter Child. More info about cold brew coffee, how you can make it yourself, and recipe ideas that you could incorporate coffee into. Our little corner of the internet is eartheats.org. Thanks to everyone who helps make Earth Eats possible, including Aabon Binder, Teresa Bertels, Chad Bouchard, Luann Johnson, Liz Leslie, Daniel Orr, Betsy Shepard, Samuel Sven, and everyone at Harvest Public Media. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods, fresh, local, organic food with delis at all three locations and a garden center on East 3rd Street, bloomingfoods.coop. Touchstone Wellness, providers of therapeutic massage and yoga instruction, offering a variety of healing massage styles and yoga levels. At the corner of Buick Cadillac Boulevard and Auto Mall Road, one block east of College Mall Road. Touchstone Wellness, massage and yoga. More at touchstonewellness.com. And Bloomington Hypnosis, with certified hypnotist and self-hypnosis instructor John Hunkler, helping clients relax into weight loss for health and fitness. Bloomington Hypnosis, 812-200-5005. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media. Will Murphy, executive producer. Thanks for your support. This is Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan.